Kun learn about Gemara Rotter of Tzadik Dawud Amar Aleph, in the middle of the page of two dots. Says the Gemara, Ein Ton Kibbutz. It does not require any laundering if it lands on hide and so on. It does not require any laundering because it's not Mekabel Tumah. No, how do you know? Sorry, it only requires laundering on the part where the blood of the chatas fell. You don't have to wash the rest of the garment out. How do we know that? The Torah Bami learned, Yochel, I would have thought, Nitas al Miktas Beged. I would have thought that if it landed on part of the garment, Yehei Kola Beged Ton Kibbutz, you should launder the entire garment. Talmud Lemez, it says the Pasuk, Ashe Yize, that we should rinse off the blood from the garment. Ashe Yize, that you will spray on it. Only where you sprayed. That's the only part where the splatter is. That's the only part that you have to launder and not the rest. Dover should roll a Kabbal Tumah. The rule is that the garment has to be something which is suitable to Kabbal Tumah, but not, let's say, the hide on top of the animal. Stoma, this section goes like Rabbi Yehuda. Goes like Rabbi Yehuda. Because Rabbi Yehuda says that if it's suitable for, as soon as it's roll a Kabbal Tumah, you know, you can change your mind and say, I'm happy with the situation the way it is, it's Mekabel Tumah. Good morning. Roll, the kibbutz says it has to be suitable for laundering and not what? But a utensil, for example, you don't launder a utensil, you scrape it off. There, you don't have to rinse if blood of a chatas fell on it. We're right where we left off yesterday. Practically, echad ha-beged ha-tzak dalam and aleph in the middle of the page. So the Mishnah said that if the blood of the Karmel Chattas falls on something which is Mekabel Tumah, you have to rinse it off. But if it's something that's not rolled the Mekabel Tumah, like the hide of an animal while it's still an animal, you don't have to rinse it off. Then the Mishnah says, Echad ha-beged, echad ha-sak, whether it's a beged with a sack which is made out of feathers of a goat, or whether it's hide, you have to wash them. The member, so what are you telling me? Oh, about kibbutz. You tell me right now that hide leather is something that can be laundered. But Aminu, I have a question. It says over there, it says, Hoisa alav lishleshes. Let's say on a pillow, you had there some kind of saliva or you had some kind of excrement. And you want to wipe it off. Mekanche besmartut, you wipe it off with a shmata on Shabbos. You're not allowed to put water on it to wash it off because then you're laundering on Shabbos. You're not laundry on Shabbos. A dry rag. Yeah. Now, what happens? What about the pillow or the blanket, whatever it is made out of hide? Then, you're allowed to place water on it. Enough water until eventually the water is going to wash away the stain. So you're not allowed to put water on an ordinary garment, but you're allowed to put water on hide, a leather, which means that it's washable. You're allowed to do it on Shabbos, means it's not washable. It's not laundry, because if it be washable, you're not allowed to wash on Shabbos. So what are you telling me now, Mishnah, that even leather is the same thing, that the thing is that it's suitable to be washed, it can't. I'm going to buy a lakasha. It's a machlekes. It's a machlekes between the rabban and others. What's the story? The time we learned, habeged v'hasak, comes to a garment or a sack, v'chapsa, what do you do with them? You wash off the dam of the chattas. Hakli, but a utensil, v'ha'oir. And the leather, megadadai, you scrape it off. So clearly this opinion is that you cannot wash leather. However, hakelim oimrim habegid vasak v'ha'oir mechapsa. That oir also you can launder. V'hakelim megadad. It's only a utensil that you scrape off. So clearly, this hakelim holds that leather could be laundered. So that's the machlekes between our Mishnah and the Brais. Between the Mishnah here, the Brais and Shabbos. K'man ozla. So according to who does it go? Hoda Amar Rav Chiya bar Ashi. This is what Rav Chiya, the son of Ashi, said. Zimnin zgiin. It happened on occasion. Have ka'im the kamed Rav. I was standing before Rav. I was scrubbing on Shabbos shoes. B'maya, in water. On Shabbos, I was scrubbing his shoes, which was made out of leather. Must be, come on, Kerabon. Must be that he followed the Rabbanon, that leather cannot be washed. So there's mud stuck to it. You can put water on it because you're not washing on Shabbos. So that's what about. And halacha, like the Chacham in Shabbos, not like our Mishnah here. Like our Mishnah here, yeah. Sorry, our Mishnah hold that you could wash it. So obviously, our Mishnah hold you not do it on Shabbos. So we follow the Mishnah Shabbos that says that leather is not something that can be laundered. Amar Rav Yosef, I disagree. How can you tell me that when the Torah says leather, when the Torah says all these things that you can be laundered, it didn't mean leather. You want to tell me the Torah holds that oil cannot be laundered? Look, see, there's a pasuk where it says regarding tzaraz, v'habeged, oy hashsiyo eidev, the garment or the woof or the warp. Or anything made out of leather, that you will wash away, you remove the leprosy. Clearly, the Torah says that you could wash leather. So it can't be that the Torah, must be like this. The pasuk there that says clear leather could be laundered, our Mishnah says it could be laundered about very soft leather. Soft leather can be washed. There's no argument. Keep pligi. What about this argument between the cheder and others? Clearly, whether you can wash leather or not. Big caution. They're talking about leather which is tough. Tough leather, whether it can be washed or it can't be washed. That's the machlekes. But our Mishnah is talking about soft leather. Soft leather could be washed. Said the Gemara, So this is what Rav Chiya said, that Zimnis Gi, and on occasion, I was standing before Rav, I washed the shoes, you rubbed the shoes with water. Because I'm going to say there's one or two ways. It cannot be talking about soft shoe, soft leather, because you're not allowed to do that on Shabbos. So it must be talking about Bekashi in tough leather. And according to the Rabbanim, say that there's no laundering in tough leather. Hodama Rava, here the Gemara a few times that Rava is going to change his mind back and forth. And this is the greatness of Rava, that he wasn't embarrassed to say I made a mistake. Hodama Rava.
All the machlokes in Abayim Rava, you only sometimes you see Rava being made to Abayim. You don't see the other way.
Exactly. But only that, the Rava
only Amachas like him. Yeah, except and for six times.
Maybe that's why, because he acknowledged when he's wrong. Rava is only Amoida that you'll still see on the base. Rava goes even stronger. Hodama Rava, I'll see the Amri. Whatever I said was wrong. Forget what I said. Totally wrong. I tried to say that the pasuk that says that leather can be washed is talking about soft leather, and the machlekes are tough leather. You look at the chumash. Where does the Torah specify soft leather? It says leather. All leather can be washed. Neku la milsi damri. Forget what I just said. Neku neimah leik lekra. That the way I tried to turn the pasuk, the chiksiven barak chiksiven. Are you going to think I can say that the pasuk is limited only to soft leather? Mila askinan, doesn't the pasuk of Taras include bikli axlagia, kli axagla? I'm not sure exactly what it is, but what it is, it's tough leather. And yet, haboyim is going to come from overseas, and people use it, and yet it can be laundered. Ukramar Achmana, the Torah says, niboy kibbutz, it has to be washed. Does he translate the word axlagia there?
Rashi says it's sholuk. Yeah. It's boiled and it's very, very hot.
No, but what is it? Is it a name? Okay. Okay. So just through a treatment of leather, which makes it very tough. And yet, the Torah says that all leather that has leprosy on it can be washed, it can be rinsed off. So therefore, all leather can be washed. So how am I going to explain the machlekes between our Mishnah and the Braisa Shabbos? Our Mishnah says that leather can be washed, and you need to launder it from the blood of the Chattas. And over there it says a Shabbos that we had over there that it says on the pillow that you're allowed to...
what about? To rinse it.
Yeah, the Chacham say that you're allowed to, yeah. But, the Achedim say that the Chacham say you're allowed to scrape it, you only can scrape it off. The Achedim say you're allowed to wash it because there's no laundering. How can we learn that? Rava says Tzaras is an exception. I shouldn't even bring in Tzaras here. Because since Tzaras comes from within yourself, or let's say the object, it comes from the object. What Tzaras says is it's not contagious, it comes from within the object itself. What happens is, as the Tzaras is coming to coming manifest, it weakens and softens that leather. It turns it into tender, or something tender. So what I said about tzaras, that it follows, that's talking about tough, and it goes to chamim, there's no such thing as tough leather when it comes to tzaras. It goes to go to everybody. Omer Abzeravi, Kashli, if I have a problem with what I said, how Kashli, this is what's bothering me. Kori, big sauces, the rachim ninu, everyone knows that generally, bed kivant, you know, pillows and mattresses and all that. You don't make it tough. You want it to be soft and cozy. So you make it out. If you have leather, you make it out of very tender leather. Kori v'ksas the rakininu, the tender. And yet, with Tanan, we learned hoisa shel oir, if it was made out of leather, noisin alehamayim, you place water. We said it before, the pillow, if there's saliva on it or dung, whatever it is, on Shabbos you place water, and the water washes it away. So we see clearly from here that by leather, there's no laundering. Otherwise, it'd be a problem, because made out of material, so you're not allowed to put water to wash away, because you're washing, and here you are allowed to. So how am I going to learn that? How can you wash? How can you put water on it? I just finished saying that soft leather, everyone agrees, is always launderable. What's the definition of kibbutz? Kol kibbutz, in order for on Shabbos to be considered as if you're washing, is only that if you wash it and you rub it against each other. So you're allowing the washing to actually penetrate beyond the surface. But if you just pour water on it and let it, shift the dirt, that's not called laundering on Shabbos. Called kibbutz, the less like kiskus, that you're not rubbing the sides to each other. Leish make kibbutz, that's not called washing at all. And therefore, it's not usher on Shabbos. When you sit over here on a pillow, that you're allowed to place water on the leather and just let it wash away, you're not doing anything. You're just putting water on. That's not called washing. What's called washing? And on the garment, we'll see if you're allowed to do that as well. So the Gemara was more or less a question. So why can't we do that? Why can't we do that on a garment? Why only on leather? Why can't we do that on made any material? All you do is putting water on it and let it wash away. See in a minute. This is a zimnizgin. It happened on the occasion of a kibbutz. Was standing before Rav, shachshichli mesayne b'maya, and we rubbed the shoe with leather. Shichshichin only rubbing our kibbutz loy, but we did not do any washing. We did put water on it. Why? They limited. I can learn one of two ways. Either it was soft shoes, iberachin. You have soft leather shoes. We could even hackle everybody because it would be laundering. Or you cushion tougher kachin. You have a question. If so, you're telling me all you're doing is putting water on it, you're not rubbing against it, it's not called washing. So begging on me, why you're highlighting that only by your leather? You're allowed to do that. You should be doing that with any material, made out of wool, cotton, anything. Why can't you just put water on it and let it wash away? It's not called washing in Shabbos. And for the Gemara, garment, the material is different. You know why? Because begged, shiriyase, just soaking in water, is already zeo kibusei. Is already considered laundering. By leather, soaking in water does nothing. So therefore, if you keep on pouring water on it until the dirt flows away, that's not called laundering, unless you rub the two sides against each other. But regular material, just soaking in water, is already a form of washing. That's why Kanza and Shabbos. Because what a rubber, the Tamei rubber is consistent with the view of Dhamma. Rubber said, Zorak sudil lemaimi, threw a handkerchief into the water on Shabbos, chai, liberally to get clean. Chaye, because soaking it, that's already considered a form of washing. Of a zorak pishtun lemayim, if you threw flax seeds into water, chayev you a chayev. What do you mean?
The untreated.
Yeah, but seeds, they can still grow. So bishleim asudas, I understand why it's forbidden of a kibbutz, because you're laundering a Shabbos just by soaking. It's already laundering a Shabbos. I understand that. Elazar a pishtun my time, but why does it say that if you put flax seeds, it's forbidden? Why? The chibetem, if you can tell me, we shouldn't mekadea, because it blossoms. Ihochid and white punk flax seeds, and chiti and grain and wheat seeds, or visadi and bali nami, same thing. Says the Gemara, interesting. Hanoch isluhu ridi. It's like a little moisture or something that comes out of the flax seeds and gets stickiness. It's a stickiness. And when you put water on it, what happens is they all get stuck together. And that is the malacha of kneading on Shabbos. You know that on Shabbos take things which are separate from each other and push and squish them together. Exactly. If so, the whole part is because water stick makes it together. Then shalach enami, leather or hide that wasn't yet treated. Also, you put water, they sort of get sticky together. I think there's some saliva. Right, I don't know about sticking. I thought because you're causing some kind of a moisture to ooze out of it. So the same thing with leather or treated hide, some moisture comes out of it as well. Hossam, the problem there is covered lisha. That moisture is sticky, and what happens is all flax is joined together, and because that's lisha on Shabbos. So you want to do a shabbat over dash and. More tells an interesting thing. This must have happened earlier. The Rava Dashen Mutter lechabes manel b'Shabbos. He's allowed to wash shoes on Shabbos. He doesn't make it conditional whether it's soft shoes or which is even osir or tough leather. It doesn't make any difference. Clearly, that once how the ka'im the kamei the Rava was standing before Rav v'shach shichleim b'sayin. I only rubbed. I scraped off the dirt. The Maya with water, but shichichin al kibbutz. I didn't wash. I just put a little bit of dirt, a little bit of water, and I washed it off. Hader okay, Rav. This is the greatest Rava. The next day, Rav set up his amida, his interpreter or his loud voice there. Alei on this very subject. V'darish. This is what he said. Dvarim shamarti lifneichem. You remember what I told you yesterday? Toros heim biyadi. I made a mistake. This is unbelievable for a leader to go out there and make such a pronouncement. It's pretty amazing. Ram, in truth, kach omr, this is what they say. Shich shuch mutter kibbus asr. Which I was wrong. You're allowed to scrape it off, but you're not allowed to wash it off.
The big Rosh Yeshivas these days standing up and saying that whole pilpul I gave you was all wrong. You know,
there was a Maestro Rabbi Zevin once. He went to a Kinnas Taylor and he asked them to give him a Rambam so he can look inside. He took the Rambam, looked at it for a minute, and he put it back and he sat down. And he refused to say the thing. Afterwards, I asked him, what happened there? He said he pulled. They gave him a Rambam. It's a different version of Rambam than he had. And he opened it up. He saw the gears that was totally different. And as a result of that, his whole pilpul falls away. So they decide, why should he say something which isn't true? Uh-huh. No, that's pretty honest. Tell you more about him. Hakibas b'makom kadosh. Where should you launder the clothes? Dafka inside the courtyard of the Beis Hamikdash. How do you know that? We learn. It says a pasuk. Anything that touches the meat, the flesh of a korban chatos becomes like it. If you spray any blood on the thing, you have to wash it. It says techabes b'makom kadosh. Where should you wash it? In a holy place. Shvidas klicheret. We said if you have, you know, the leftover noise in a klicheret, if it's made out of clay, you have to destroy it. Minayin. How do you know that has to be done inside the Beis Hamikdash? It says the klicheret. It says and. It's a continuation. It's a flaw on b'mavu. And it says that that clay keli that you're cooking it, you shove it, you should break it. If you cooked it, if you cooked it in a, what do you call it, in a copper keli. Oh, I'll skip the line. That has to be done inside the courtyard. Because the pasuk continues. Ve'im, and if. So it's the old continuation of the first pasuk where it says, Techabez b'mekayim kadosh, and it says, Ve'chlechadosh, and then it says, Ve'im. So it all flows on. Ve'im b'chlechay bush abishala, moidak v'shaita b'mayim. Has to be all done in the courtyard. Then the Mishnah says, Echayim b'chata. This is the chumr and chata. The chata is you have to destroy the keli and all other things. You only wash and rinse it. Says the Gemara, Vesuleka, there aren't more chumras between chatas and other kachikachim. But you can assume many more. For example, Shenichnis Dama Lifnim, that a karma chatas, you spray the blood on the inside, all other kabanas, you spray on the outside. Says the Gemara, Vechatoy Chatoynis. We're not discussing the inner karma chatas, we're talking about the outer karma chatas. The outer karma chatas, you spray outside, just like any other karma. Okay. Shim Nichnis Dama Lifnim Sula, okay, the outer karma chatas, if you brought the blood inside, it renders the karma puzzle. But if you brought another karma's blood inside, you take it back outside. No, some more says our Mishnah maybe follows our Kiva Dhamma, cold dumb any carbon. Shenich Nasula Hechel Chape, Psula, any carbon that you bring inside the Hechel to atone and is possible. She came a chaprin like Chayov Krisa, another chumra. She came a chaprin like Chayov Krisa, Chata has the capacity to atone for Avedis that you did that deserve Kodesh. The Shmir, like I said, we're talking about Chata, the Shmir is covered. We're talking about even Chatas for knowing testimony, refusing to share it. And that Chata, there's no chorus. And even that Chata has the stringency about breaking the Kalim, the clay Kalim. So the Gemara, I'll give you so many other Chumras. Shekane Tuna, Arba Matanas, you have to spray it on all four corners, not like other Kabbalas is too. Grabbi Shmol, no, this Father Bishmol, Dama, called Dama Tuna Matanas. He holds that all Kabbalas require four corners. Al-Dala Kronis, will the time maker, according to you, even according to all these answers, he gave me a Ika Keren, it has to be done on the horn, not below the line. A Ika Ezba, you have to use a finger and not use a Keli and throw it. A Ika Chud, it has to be on the tip, on the corner of the horn. El-Chad Metreit Lasa Chumra, no, he doesn't have to mention every single Chumra, he just mentions one as an example. Next Mishnah. Beged, what about if you have a garment that became, that you know, that's some blood sprinkled on it, so now splattered some blood on it, the blood of a chata, so you're supposed to launder it. But what happened was, she got to chutz l'klaim, you took it outside of the Beis HaMikdash, and then nichnes, you bring it back in, umechapsa, you launder it, b'makom kadosh. You still have a mitzvah to the pasuk, that you should move to chabez b'makom kadosh. So you have to bring it back into the courtyard and wash it again.
So what's the shaila on that blood that went out?
Yeah, now that you went out, blood went out as apostles, so that after it's for foul, so no? You gotta bring it, you have a mitzvah. Yeah, once you had the chiv of techabez b'makom kadosh, even though you removed it and took it outside, you still gotta bring it back in and fix it. Okay, says the mother, what about nitmo chutz l'klaim? What about on the way out it became tame? So when it became tame, you cannot bring it back into the Zohar. So what do? You just forget about it? You can't use the shirt again. You cannot bring it back. So maybe you should just forget about it. No, but you have a chiv. So how do you discharge a chiv? Is koireya, you rip it up. Because when you rip up the shirt, it becomes now tired. And then you bring it back in. and you bring it in the courtyard and you wash it out.
It's torn because you've destroyed
yes,
it.
Yes, it's original. Exactly. Any keli, when you destroy its original use, it loses its tumah. What about. Okay.
Is it cutting and ripping something? It's removed
tumah. Yeah. Yes.
Ripping the clothes on the cemetery is the same meaning?
No. Ripping clothes in the cemetery is kriya for mourning. That's different. Nothing to do with tumah. Don't do too much. Chutz leklaim, koyrei, you rip it. Then nichnas and mechapsa monkaj. Then you have the mitzvah you have to fulfill, which is to bring it back inside and launder it in a holy place. What about klecheret? We said before that you have to take the earthenware and break it. There's a mitzvah that says, yishaver, asher tevush klecheret, asher tevush abba yishaver. What about you? You have to chutz leklaim, you're trying to break it, you took it outside. So is there any point in bringing it back in? We say, no, that's it, it's outside already. Nay, nichnis v'shoyru gagol, you got to bring it back in and break it. Okay. What about nitme chutz leklaim? What about if it became tamei? What about if it became tamei outside of klaim? Well, no, but you took it outside, it became tamei. You can't even bring it back in. What do you do now? Just forget about it. Nay, noikva, you puncture a hole, so therefore you render the keli useless. And when nichnas, you bring it back in. You have a mitzvah asay to destroy it. So you have to go back and bring it in. What about klei chayyeh kapri, a mitzvah to kasher it? She yotzeh chutz l'kayim, you took it outside. Then the mitzvah is nichnas, bring it back in. Or morka v'shoy, from a good holy place. Nitma chutz l'kayim. What about you took it out and became tamei? Poichsa, you open up the kelos, you make a big hole, a giant hole, so the keli is useless. The nichnas, you bring it back in. Or morka v'shoy, from a kasher, from a good kaddish, in a holy place. Says he, what a mask, what I've even had a question. Koiroi, you tell me to rip it up. Begid amarachmana, the Torah says that it says in the Torah, Techabez b'mokim kodesh, that this begid that became full of blood, you should wash it in the holy place. The Torah wants it to be begid. If you ripped it apart, is it still a garment? It's still a begid? It's not a begid anymore. So how do you fulfill your mitzvah? You're forcing the guy to bring it back in. If it became tamei, you tell him rip it up and bring it back in. What's the point? The Torah, part of the mitzvah is to launder a garment. It's no longer a garment. It's a bunch of shmatas. It's a tattered, whatever it is. Begid Amar Achmana, the Torah clearly said that Medama ala Begid, Vela Begid, is no longer Begid. Answers the Gemara, the Meshayi, but you leave a little section, Kedema Afoidus. You leave a little section, you don't rip the entire length of the shirt, you leave a little section wide enough that the width of a handkerchief. You have a little section that's still attached. So it's on the one hand, from a tumah it's still tired, because most of it is ripped up, so you won't really realize a garment anymore. But since you left it the size of a handkerchief, you can still sew it, mend it if you want to mend it, and therefore it's called a begad. You can still call it a begad.
But you wouldn't mend the begad.
It doesn't matter if you would. It doesn't matter. It has a potential. Yeah, but you can still call it a begad. The Torah says begad. This is the minimum amount that's called a begad. Says the Gemara, Ein is not so, Vom Rav Huna said, that when do we say that a talus, when you say that talus that became tummy, you're allowed to use it once you rip most of it? They're talking about Dafka. If you did not leave a section big enough, Kadei Mafaitis, the size of a handkerchief, if you did, you didn't lose a tumma either.
Still
tummy. Mabhuna Loishonu, when you say about talus that became tummy, that you can remove the tummelish Loishayibo Kadei Mafaitis, didn't leave it behind the size of a handkerchief. Avul Shayibo Kadei Mafaitis, if you left it the size of a handkerchief, Chiburhava, it's still considered a talus, and you can know it doesn't lose a tumma. Says the Gemara Midrabanhi. That's only Midrabanan. It's only Midrabanan. Let's just do the top of the page. Midrabanhi Gzeda. We are worried. Dilmolo Asiel Mikra Ruba. Because if we're going to allow you not to tear the whole thing, sometimes you're not going to get it right. Sometimes you're going to leave the size of a handkerchief. You're going to leave more than half of it still attached. And that Matoida didn't lose his tumor. Avo Midrais is definitely tired. Matoida tired. Therefore, Mutul Achnisa, you're allowed to bring it back into the base of Migdal. You've ripped most of it. You're allowed to bring it back. Mishum Mitzvah's Kibbutz. You have a Mitzvah Kibbutz. That's the overarching concern right now. So you're allowed to bring it back and lost the tumor. And then my father means it leaves us still as a beggar. Okay, we're trying to stop paying things for my Mitzvah.